of everyone. This is Jay, aka Brother Silk, welcoming you to the 66th episode of the British Soap Podcast. Today we are talking EastEnders episodes that aired between May 9th and 27th. And I am here with my homegirl, my partner in crime, the Kathy to my Rocky.
Oh, Lord.
Miss Lindsay Amanda, aren't you loving what I'm doing to ensure that EastEnders gets the royal visit that it deserves?
Oh, yeah, totally. 100%. Look,
you sound so enthusiastic, baby.
I think that's quite possibly one of the stupidest storylines on the entire show.
Well, since we knew in real life, like, I think Charles and Camilla came to visit, I didn't understand that it was going to be on the show. So now we're seeing why that's happening, because Rocky's going to try to impress Sonya. And I think that's cute. So we'll get to see him in his little Union Jack outfit all over again.
Oh, no. It's like I knew about that, too. And now that we know exactly why they were there, it's just like, okay, that's fine, I guess.
You know, I think I like Rocky, and I love the cuteness of it, because EastEnders is so heavy right now, right? They got so much heavy stuff going on. So I kind of like, you know, Rocky being his little cute self, getting in his good books with his ex and his fake daughter.
his ex and his current? Wow. You still get... I really don't particularly care for that story.
No.
Even if it, there's another funny storyline that I'd rather talk about that, ooh, you know, that made it kind of worth it. But, you know, at the same time, it's just like, this past few weeks have been quite on the darkish side.
Yes.
And there needed to be a little bit of funny. And while, yes, it was funny, I thought it was just a little... you know, not my cup of tea, I guess. I don't know.
Now,
he tries too much.
The comedy story that you reference, is that in your scenes of the week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I will hush and not ask about it, and I'll wait. Because I'm interested in knowing what that is. Shuts. But, you know, I actually want to start today by talking about the story of the week. EastEnders Channel, this story was coming for a few weeks, so we knew what was going on. We knew that Ben was going to be sexually assaulted by Lewis. And I want to talk about it because, you know, I have just finished watching the storyline play out, and I'm just not happy with the way that it's played out at all. I think the impression that I had going in was that this was going to be like sexual assaults we have seen on other shows, including Hollyoaks, including, you know,
Corey,
EastEnders, to
Emmerdale,
be honest.
Yeah, EastEnders, all of them, really.
Where how the story played out was you have an individual that is clearly manipulative and is sexually assaulting a person against their will. And there's no ambiguity about the fact that this is a person that is manipulating this other person in the assault. On Coronation Street, David was drugged. He was targeted by this rapist for the purpose of sexually assaulting him. That's what happened. On EastEnders, Linda was raped by Mick's brother. She did not want it. It was absolutely clear that was what was going on. On Hollyoaks, when John Paul got assaulted by Finn, it was clear that this was nothing that was consensual. There was no question about it. It was a violation. It was quite clear. Right. And then the
Alicia
way,
and Lachlan.
Exactly.
From Emmerdale.
Exactly. You know, so those stories and the clarity in it, I get. I will even say, even though to this day, I refuse to fault Gilly for this situation. When
You already know.
But look, when a show wants to do ambiguous sexual assault, right? when they want to make the point that you can be with someone that you're dating and, you know, maybe there's a sexual assault. You think maybe it's not a sexual assault, but it is. There is a way that can be done. I think Hollyoaks did a good job with that storyline in some respects. I will never accept Gilly as a rapist. I will never.
Nope. But
I think the way that they wrote the storyline was solid and true to how those stories can actually go. Here on EastEnders, I don't think that we got that. Here on EastEnders,
no, absolutely not.
We got EastEnders trying to punish Ben for the avenging thing, I think, by making him sexually assaulted, but was he really, right? Because in this
that's my thing too, because I actually texted you and said, dude, he actually instigated it first.
Yeah, and he that's was the problem. One. That's the problem.
And I was just like, is it really sexual assault if he was the one who drug him upstairs, asked him to go upstairs, started kissing him first, blah blah blah.
And
no.
Maybe, let's even go back. I'm going to put this more on the writing and the show's decision than the character of Ben. Because what happened? So first you've got Ben as the avenging angel. You've got conflict between him and Callum over it because you know, he hits Peter and then finally the truth comes out about what he did. Okay, so you've got conflict between him and Callum. And then what happens? So Ben he started to confide in Lewis about what was going on. Lewis was a boss and gave Ben an alibi when he needed one. And Lewis, this whole time, he is kind of like, he is not the stereotypical rapist. So I was kind of confused as to how they were going to turn Lewis into a sexual assaulter. Because, I mean, he just seems like, you know, normal gay dude, living his life, single and free, flirting with everything that moves, like, I didn't get a predatory vibe, and I'm, not the way this actor is playing him. And so I'm just like, this guy
I'm like even, and I'm like even when he was doing the thing, and he was just like, I'm saying no. I'm just like, are you? And yes, but, he was saying no.
But this is the thing.
But
the way EastEnders wrote this is, they set up a situation where to anyone who is looking in from the outside, if Ben ever says he was raped, it's going to look like a lie. Because EastEnders set up a situation where Ben was getting close to this man, Callum saw him kissing. You know, now he has admitted that he has slept with this man, even though he feels like he was sexually assaulted. Before, you know, he goes to the club prior to the sexual assault, him and Callum got into a fight where it looked like the relationship was ending. And Ben says to Callum, well, you know, Callum's like, you know, I saw you kissing Lewis. If you want to go be with him, go sleep with him, go do it. And Ben said, maybe I will. And then he goes to the bar. He's not drugged or anything. He's just drunk. He comes on to Lewis. And Lewis, you know, is into him. And, you know, then they go into the back room. And initially, like, it doesn't seem predatory. Like, EastEnders is having Lewis say the words in his mind. Like, he's saying out loud to the audience, oh, okay, you like it rough. And he is, in his mind, rationalizing this because he knows this is a guy who beats up people for, you know, revenge or whatever. So he's thinking, okay, the dude's in a rough sex. So Ben whispering no, or Ben saying stop. I'm annoyed by this, but the way the show wrote this, you could rationally see how Lewis would legitimately feel like he did not rape this man. And honestly, after the way Lewis has acted since the assault, or the assault EastEnders wants us to think is assault, he acts like a guy who did not rape this man, not because he's guilty and trying to cover his ass, but because it seems like he feels like he genuinely did not assault this man.
And Ben's not acting much better because he's just like, oh yeah, we're still friends. I'm like, dude, no. If this dude assaulted you in any way, shape, or form, I would not be friends with him anymore. I would not be seeing him every 10 minutes. I mean, yes, maybe they, you know, check if it's clean or not. You know, that's fine.
Right.
But it seems like every waking second on screen that you see him, he's talking to Lewis.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious what exactly they're trying to do. Is this supposed to be a love-to-hate love story thing happening? Or is it going to be like a, I don't really understand. I'm confused.
Yeah.
I didn't see this as a sexual assault at all.
Yeah.
I think it was done very badly. If they were going to quote-unquote sexually assault him, I would have rather seen it like, you know, basically anything else at this point. Because this came off as not well done.
Yeah.
And I was sad.
Yeah,
because I think Kay Oates did Alicia's rape by Lachlan, didn't she?
I don't remember
either, but I know that she did one of them. And this was crap in comparison, 187,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
So
I just don't like the fact that the show has left so many ways for the viewer to be able to see Lewis as genuinely an innocent party. Yes, Ben said no. Like, if we're just going to go off of Ben said no, Lewis should have stopped. Yes. But the way the show wrote it, Lewis could legitimately think he did nothing wrong. The show had him say, oh, you're into rough sex. In response to Ben saying no. Oh, okay, I hear you saying no, but this is just your whole rough sex thing, right? People do have those fantasies where they role play, you know, resistant, and they really are into it. Like, honestly, that this is how this guy could, the way it was written and the way it was scripted and the way it was
shot. It was like, that's how it played out. It played out more of a role play than it did a rape.
Yeah, you know.
And it kind of, you know, hurt my feelings a little bit, knowing that it could have been done so much better.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because of Ben's reaction, because of Lewis's reaction, and, you know, if you take, you know, the thought that Ben has been sexually assaulted and all of his actions are to cover it up, I will say I prefer Ben saying, you know, just letting it be thought that he had consensual sex with this man. I'd rather that be the messed up thing the raped character does than admitting to physical assault while not saying their rapist sexually assaulted them and going to jail for the physical assault. Like, I think him being out of jail is a better situation. But here again, we've got now, Callum got upset and has punched this man, and now you've got Lewis talking about how he might go to the cops for physical assault because of Callum, but then what's Ben supposed to do with regards to the sexual assault? And then if Ben does let the sexual assault thing out, then people are gonna think, oh, he's just saying that to protect his husband because this guy has said that the husband has physically assaulted him. This is messy. This is messy. And it is not
good. And now he and Callum aren't together anymore. Callum's kicking him out, blah, 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 because he's just like, oh, I slept with him. I'm like, no! No, you didn't! Not technically.
I don't understand what they were doing with this. This was not a wise play at all. It is very confusing. It is very messy. And I don't understand what the point was. Honestly, if the point was to have tension in the relationship between Ben and Callum, they should have just gotten rid of the whole sexual assault aspect and just had Ben sleep with the dude. Like, right? Like, that's what they should have done.
Or just have him hang out with Lewis more, because you see, he is a jealous little dude.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all you had to do is see him, you know, sitting 2 foot of Lewis, and he'd say, dude, we're done.
I mean, that's
all that was necessary.
The story would have been fine had, you know, if we removed this whole sexual assault piece of the story, the story would still be good. Like, everything else around the story except for the sexual assault is good. The tension,
it's amazing, yeah.
The tension between Callum and Ben, you know, I've long said one of the appeals of this couple, you've got the good boy, you've got the bad boy, and the conflicts between those two are going to be fire in a relationship. And you've got it here. Ben jeopardizing Callum's job by being this avenging angel, that is a sore spot for Callum. And Callum even got over it, you know, to welcome that man back, right? That's tension enough. In a scene that he's kissing Lewis and still hanging with Lewis after he's told him not to associate with Lewis, that would bring hella tension in the relationship. But this whole sexual assault piece that doesn't look like a sexual assault, I don't know what they're doing with this. This reminded me of Bold and the Beautiful, where on Bold and the Beautiful, Ridge had broken up with, Caroline. Okay, Caroline, yes. So on Bold and the Beautiful, so Ridge broke up with Caroline, and Caroline was used to date Ridge's son. And, you know, a big point of tension between those two is how Ridge got with his son's girlfriend and former girlfriend and got into a relationship. That was a big source of problems between father and son. So what happened? Yep. Ridge breaks up with Caroline. Caroline goes to Thomas and she's sad about it. And Thomas is comforting her because she's sad about it. And of course, she used to love this man. He has always carried a torch for her. And, you know, they both kind of commiserated over, you know, Ridge's treatment of both of them. They drunk a lot. And the two had sex. Like, that's how the show shot it. The two had sex because they were kind of comforting each other over everything that went down with Ridge. And I was actually here for that because I thought those two were a better fit than her with
last Ridge. 100%. Yeah.
So then the next morning, Caroline wakes up and she notices she's in bed with Thomas. And then Thomas wakes up and then she, like, jumps in. Like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the show has her acting like she was sexually assaulted. Like, that's how she's acting. But, I mean, she knows she chose to sleep with that man. So anyway, Thomas just thinks she's feeling guilty, and she goes home to Ridge, and Ridge is being all apologetic to her the next day, and then she is looking distraught, and then he determines that, you know, she's been with a guy, and then it was his son, and then Rich just decides, my son raped you. Like, what? That did not happen. That did not happen. But the show just decided that Rich was going to do that. Like, Rich says this, and then the killer is Caroline does not correct him. So she allows it to the lie that she was sexually assaulted to stand. And Ridge goes all throughout the town telling everybody his son is a rapist. Thomas is just like, what the hell are you talking about? I did not rape that girl. Caroline, speak up. And Caroline is all of a sudden mute. It was messy. It was ridiculous. And I feel like what EastEnders is doing with Ben and Lewis, it's again, they want to say something about sexual assault. I guess they haven't figured out what that is because how it's playing out on screen is just like not quality story at all, you know?
I texted you in Discord and I'm like, how is this considered sexual assault if he's, you know, instigating it? And I was just like sitting there thinking, what the heck are they gonna do? And then you saw that and I'm just like, I'm not feeling anything. I felt for Alicia on Emmerdale when she got raped. I felt for, like you said, both Big Hollyoaks rapes, yeah. Even though, like we said, Gilly, no rapist, that storyline doesn't exist.
Yeah.
you know, John Paul and Finn, I felt something for all of them. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what kind of boys love cosplays? Role plays this. Taken from somebody who watches a lot of boys love dramas that kind of start like this. They start off being friends, they have their moment, they have their kissy kissy time, and then they go and have sex time, be it role play, be it, you know, just happy sex time. So I'm just like, this just feels like a boring boys' love drama.
Yeah.
And that was basically what it was. It was 2 weeks of a build-up of a boys' love drama, and it drove me up the wall. I love them. I think they're great. I watch them every night before I go to bed. Don't judge me. And it's just like, this is garbage. And I don't want to feel like the show that I've liked as much as I have. So, you know, for so long, I've been watching it over a decade, so have you.
Yeah.
To turn something so, you know, good into, or such a good show that gives off, you know, good vibes, talks about things that, you know, are, you know, necessary, into something that is complete trash because they couldn't play out a gay sexual assault.
Yeah. I mean, EastEnders has done sexual assault storylines very well. This is not one of them. This is not one of them. And I don't understand what they intended to do, but the execution is poor. And I need them to make some different choices because it's just not working. It is not working at all. And I'm over it. I'm totally over it. You know? So, yeah, there's that. All right, everybody. So if you have any questions about the British soaps, or there happens to be something that we did not talk about on Albert Square that you would have liked us to have discussed, head over to britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com to shoot us an ask, or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast. All right, Miss Lindsay, let's get into these what the hells for EastEnders. What did EastEnders do to make you say, what the hell, Gene Slater?
Well, actually, my first one has nothing to do with Gene Slater. But my first one has to do with our favorite Kimfluencer.
Oh,
Howie gets up the balls to finally say, hey, dude, I like you. And she's just like, screw off, I'm leaving. She walks out after, you know, hooking him up and doing all this stuff, automatically assuming he's gay when he's been seriously trying for the past, like, what, half a year or so to say, dude, I like you. And she's just like, you made me think you were gay. You're a lying asshole. And I'm like, no, he was just going along with what you said because you assumed that he was gay. And he never said he was gay. There was no indication that he was gay. He was hanging out with you. He was helping you out. What goes through your head thinking that this man is gay? And what she said was, you are really kind and attentive. I'm like, so I'm kind and attentive. Does that mean I'm gay too?
Come on now.
You know, I'm just like, dude, no. You could have had the most beautiful thing with Howie in the entire universe of the world, and you screwed it up because you think he's a liar after he decided to say, and even Lewis figured it out before she did, that he liked you.
And I'm just like, I have respect for Howie, because Howie just said to that chick, I mean, are you just always this selfish? Really?
Yeah.
And then he took off. I said, I know, that's right, brother. You go ahead on a walk.
You go do what you do, because, you know, that could have been probably, I'm pretty sure they're going to try to keep bringing them together to get them together. But how she reacted to the fact when he was like, I like you, and I would like to date you, and her reaction was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Totally agree, baby girl.
Especially after she was pulling that whole gay Kimfluencer video nonsense right before.
Yeah. And again, this is another situation where EastEnders, like, just scripted this poorly. Because, look, I watched this stuff because this storyline, Kim and Howie getting together, that has been one of the most interesting beats of the story, and it's been something I've been looking forward to for some time. Patrick sat Kim down and told Kim when she said this foolishness about Howie being gay, Kim, Howie is not gay. Howie is into you. This is why he has been doing everything that he has been doing. And Kim initially was like, no, that can't be true. Seriously? And then EastEnders has her, you know, gives her this look like, oh my God, she realizes, oh, he really does like me. And then the next scene they have together on that same episode, Kim goes to his home and says to him, like, listen, I appreciate you in my life. I'm so happy that you are my friend and that you are committed to being my friend. And I was thinking at the time that the reason she's doing this is because she understands that Howie likes her, and she just can't in the moment bring herself to say that she likes him back. So she's doing the whole, oh, you're my friend. She's just big up in a friend thing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I thought the story was going to stop. But then the next thing you know, she's back to the whole Howie is gay thing. I'm like, the show already helped you realize he's not gay. And the show already has you saying, like, he's your friend because you recognize the real you have feelings for him. So I don't know why that wasn't the play, just sticking with, you know, Kim knows she has feelings for Howie and she's just kind of, you know, trying to not express them because of the complications with Vince and whatever, whatever. Instead of them having her do that mature thing, it's, oh, she has deluded herself into thinking he's gay again after, I feel, genuinely recognizing there's no way in the world that man is gay. It was stupid. It was stupid. Just like EastEnders deciding to make this a sexual assault storyline between Ben and Lewis when it really just could have been Ben chose to have sex with him and it could have given you the same emotional impact without this whole weird, wait, that was sexual assault kind of thing. You know, so yeah, I need EastEnders to stop with these weird turns. Just give a straightforward quality story and chill with the weird. You're doing too much. You had like the perfect story and then you added stupid into it and it's too much. I can't. Well, that's all I got on Kim, baby girl. What else you got for you? What the hell?
My second one does have to do with Jean Slater, though. So, Jean is literally thinking she's getting assaulted by this woman, bringing her blanket. She thinks she's going to kill her and stuff. So Stacy brings her home. And so she thinks Stacy's trying to poison her. So Lily, in her infinite wisdom, decides to take the milk out of the refrigerator and start chugging it out of the carton and says, okay, I don't want Stacy to take care of me because she's going to poison me. I want an 11-year-old girl to skip school for the foreseeable future to take care of me and feed me food and automatically tell her while she's washing my hair that I see the signs in you that you have bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. So she starts stealing her pills and starts taking them because Jean told her that she saw bipolar in her because she saw it in Stacy. So this little girl is literally poisoning herself with lithium because she thinks she has bipolar disorder. While I'm just like, dude, no, I don't care if you're sick or not. You do not tell an 11-year-old girl who's scared she may have it already that she has it. Congratulations, you scared an 11-year-old. Good on you, lady.
I mean, and every part of that is in my what the hell. Pitiful Jean, you know, she's so pitiful. She tried to kill herself. Then she's pitiful in the mental institution. Then she supposedly has somebody trying to kill her in the mental institution. So Stacy gets her home and she's still acting pitiful and pathetic. She was getting on my nerves, Jean, this time. The only good moment that I thought that Jean had was when Harvey came to see her and she acted like she had some sense for
time. And they did the puzzle. Yes. And they did the puzzle and she was smiling and she was being cute Jean again. Yes. And it was glorious. Yes. But yeah,
Let's bring the other person in this story who needs to be held to account in this story. It's not just Jean that's the problem. It's Stacy that's the problem.
Stacy. Oh, yeah.
Kat is telling Stacy. Stacy is being as stupid as Mercy is being on Hollyoaks with regard to her child. Kat is there telling Stacy, this is an 11-year-old child. She does not get the responsibility of managing the needs of a grown-ass woman with bipolar disorder. You cannot keep this child out of school on an ongoing basis in order to take care of your mother. She needs professional help. Stacy, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. What else am I supposed to do? Kat gives a suggestion, and she's getting a middle finger, right? So,
more or less, yeah.
Finally, on Friday's episode, it comes out that Stacy recognizes that her daughter has been taking these pills because her mother has told her that she's going to get bipolar as well. Stacy is infuriated by this. So infuriated, she finally snaps and yells at Jean, who, frightened, pushes Stacy away, which has Stacy, you know, knocking over bottles, getting
and stabbing herself in the back.
You're bleeding. Her daughter comes and finds her mother bleeding. And this is finally, you know, impetus for her to call the ambulance to come and help, right? And what does Stacy do? Does Stacy use this as an opportunity to get her mother back into the hospital? Does Stacy use this as an opportunity to grow brain cells and act like a responsible adult? No.
Nope.
Stacy tells 911 that the emergency situation isn't her mother, it's her daughter who has ingested her mother's pills, and then she tells Lily and Jean that they are to say nothing about the truth of what happened. What are we doing? That is idiotic. So now your daughter's in harm's way, you're in harm's way, and your mother is still being cared for by parties who cannot care for her in the way that she needs. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I can't with it. I absolutely can't with it. Waste of time and stupid. Stupid for no reason. I need it to stop. I can't.
And my last one has to do with Janine Flippin' Butcher and her inability to make sure her daughter gets into her house on the day she's supposed to. So, she wins custody of this cute little girl. She's excited. Scarlett's excited. They're all excited. So, she's like, go to Cats, get your stuff. So, Scarlett, being Scarlett, assumes, okay, cool. I'll be over at, you know, the house tonight when I get done packing my stuff. So she packs her stuff, and she goes and knocks on the door. Nobody's flipping home because flipping Janine didn't tell her that she was going to pick her up tomorrow. And so she was sitting there at the front doorstep, freezing cold, and Sonia had to bring her in the house, and she's like, oh, I bought you a present the next day, and she's like, what? And she walks in, and there's Scarlett getting ready for school, eating breakfast, and she's like, yeah, no, dude, you forgot I was coming yesterday, I'm out, and she leaves, and I'm like, that's what you get for going and getting drunk with Mick instead of making sure that your daughter got the dates right, you stupid cow. You know, she never said anything. She was just like, just pack your stuff and we'll get you all settled in. She didn't say a date. She didn't say anything. Just get your stuff ready and get situated and in, and we'll have you situated when you get there. And she never said when. She was just like, oh, I'm on my way. And there are her and Mick drinking in the flippin', getting sloshed at, you know, Peter's restaurant next door. And I'm just like, oh my lord.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how Janine could have thought that if on the day that you regain custody of your child, you tell the child to go pack your bags, right? I don't know how you would expect that child to think that you wanted the bags packed to be picked up in a week, in a month, in a year. I mean, you talked about taking this child to Australia after the custody hearing, and then you get custody.
She's probably had her flipping bag packed for a month.
You know, and then it's like you're shocked when your child like thinks, you know, you're gonna, you know, follow through on the promise that you made. Like, and she would be living with her mom that night since custody got regained. It was ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. You know, I have Janine and her daughter on my what the hell list, mostly because I kind of do not like anything involving this storyline. Like, I think Janine should have been brought back to do more of the evil villainy things that we know her for. This whole Cassidy thing has been a dud. Like, everything that she does in the storyline is a dud. So I don't like any of this. But I'm going to chime in with my Janine-related what the hells, because they are the, you know, second to last that are on my list. So I don't like anything involving the daughter storyline, including this whole thing where, like, well, more, I don't like Janine hatching bad plans. And there are two in particular that I'm thinking of.
I think I know one.
The one where she has not received any fallout yet is, well, actually, I'll say it for less. So the first is Janine deciding that the best thing to do is to get Linda kicked out of Sharon's place just to be spiteful and hateful, because she was too stupid to realize if Linda is not at Sharon's place, she's going to go home to Mick, and that's still gonna mess up any alone time you want with Mick, right? I don't know what she thought was gonna happen when she manipulated, kind of started putting poison in people's ears to get Linda out of the house at Sharon's, but she should have been able to see, girl, she's just gonna go back to Mick, and that's gonna mess up your spot, and you're smarter than this. So I was annoyed that she was not. It was ridiculous. Yeah, what were you thinking?
The aftermath to that idea is probably your second one, where she goes and steals Nancy's money. Is that the next one?
The theft is number two. Because, again, this is just as stupid as kicking Linda out of the house. This girl hires an actress to play the final broker between Nancy and Zach. And this restaurant that they're building, and gets Nancy to transfer $50,000 to, you know, this fund, half of which goes to this actress, half of which goes to Janine, because Janine has decided to, you know, tell Linda, I will pay you $25,000, which is pennies, to leave your whole family, right? And what she's not considering here is, number one, this is going to come out. And then number two, when it comes out that Janine stole money from Mick's daughter, their relationship is going to be over. Like, first of all, the fact that you would transfer this money to Linda, I mean, the relationship could have been over there, because Linda could just tell Mick, look, your dumb, you know, your angel of a woman has transferred me this money to leave my family. Is this the type of woman you want to be with? But now, because she has stolen from his child, who he loves like nobody's business, this is the end of the relationship. So all of her schemes are, it's clear that they're all going to blow up in her face, and it's like she's blind to the fact that they're going to blow up in her face, and she's smarter than this. I don't get it. It's ridiculous.
And the fact that, you know, in the last few moments, that I think it wasn't Friday's episode, I think it was Thursday's episode, one or the other, Linda walks up to her and says, dude, I'm running the bar. What makes you think that I'm, you know, what makes you think that I'm going anywhere? I don't know about this money that you sent me. What's all this about?
That was fabulous. That was fabulous.
And it was like the first time you've ever seen her hair down, which, thumbs up, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'd like her with her hair down. It's very cute. But it's just like, you see, like, the second she walks in and she's like, who's gonna man the bar? Oh, I am, because you're gonna go upstairs and you're gonna tell Mick that you just transferred me a shit to the bar. Mm-hmm. Have fun with your movie night. Mm-hmm. I keep imagining the little virus thing on the Jurassic Park computer going, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. And I'm just like, dude, yep, there we go. Linda is queen, and Janine's gonna lose everything she worked for in the past. It's almost year she's been on the show.
And she will have no one to blame but herself.
But herself.
You know? Yeah. Just ridiculous, baby girl. So ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I only have one more what the hell. And that what the hell involves both Dottie and Stuart. So
Oh, I know what,
Dottie
yeah.
sees Stuart getting a baggie from his woman, and she decides that this must mean that Stuart is on the weed. He's back on the drugs, right?
Back on the weed.
Now, Stuart tells her the truth. Hey, what's actually going on here is I'm addicted, and Rainey is helping me to manage my pills because I have some concerns about that. And because I'm assuming she is thinking about her mother, Dottie is just like, I know what an addict is an addict, and you're just lying to me, and I'm gonna go tell Bernie so she knows to take a baby. And he's just like, but I want her to take the baby because I actually don't even want the goddamn baby. And she's like, you're a liar, you're just a druggie. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like, what? This is silly. Stop. Stop. Just stop. Like, it makes no sense. Like, Stuart was actually honest with her. And she has just decided to lie to the truth, and she's just gonna go with the lie and ignore the truth. Like, what the hell? Like, I couldn't with it. It was just annoying, and I didn't know why it was happening, and I needed it to stop. What did you think, baby girl?
Oh, dude, I don't care about Daddy showing up like ever, so it's fine. It's just like every time I see her on screen, you know she's gonna think the wrong thing, and it's gonna blow up in her face, and it's gonna be explained to her what's really going on because it happens every time she assumes something, and yeah. So I didn't care. I'm gonna be completely honest. That entire bit did nothing for me because we basically knew everything that was going on anyway, and she just went and assumed the worst of everybody, like she does every time she sees something go down. She automatically assumes the worst and then tells somebody the wrong thing and blah blah blah. So there you go.
All right, darling, well, let's go to the scenes of the week. What did M got Emmerdale? What did EastEnders do that you liked these past couple weeks?
Speaking of Rainey and Stewart, Rainey found out that Stewart wasn't taking his pills and he was flushing them down the drain.
Yes.
And she was like, why aren't you taking your pills? Why isn't, why don't you take care of the baby? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And all this stuff. And he flat out tells her, I feel nothing when I see the baby. I don't want it. I want nothing to do with it. I don't feel anything. There's no bond. There's no nothing like that. And the reactions between the two of them were completely justified because while they both got exactly what they wanted, Stuart realized that, I don't know whether it's, I think it's more of a mental thing because there is that, mentality sometimes, that it mostly happens with women after the, like, post-traumatic, it's the baby syndrome that they have where they don't feel anything toward the baby and they're just like, let's leave it on the doorstep or something and somebody else can take care of it. I think that's what Stuart has. And normally you see that more with women, but it was nice to see another thing that a man has that a woman normally has that can, essentially make the other person in the relationship feel extremely bad. And that's kind of like I'm feeling how Rainey feels, and I think that maybe how Bernie gets their baby back is that because Stuart doesn't want him. And it seems like every way humanly possible, they try to shove that baby in with a... I can't think of the...
Mitch?
Yes. All the time, that baby just like, I'm just going to stroll this baby in the stroller and he falls asleep. And I'm going to do this. And when him and Rainey are having that conversation in the back or in the cab office, and you're just sitting there thinking, who does, and he's just saying, who doesn't have feelings for a baby? And Rainey just bursts out crying. He's like, and she's like, dude, I have to go. Never explains, you know, why, just leaves. And she walks back into the apartment and she's like, and he's like, I want to wave a white flag because if it were between us having the baby and us giving it back to Bernie, I'd say give it back to Bernie in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is like really sad, and at the same time, it's really telling about how somebody truly feels. I mean, like, he's going through so much as it is with the cancer, the chemo, you know, all that stuff, and maybe that chemical imbalance is kind of, you know, making the, you know, emotional tug not happen too. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it's nice to see the reactions of the two people and to see what exactly is going to happen now that Rainey knows that the father of the child doesn't want to be his father at all.
Yeah.
And she's the one taking care of everything as though she's raising the child on her own. And she doesn't think she can, you know, do it. So we'll see. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. Maybe Mama Highway or Grandma Highway there will, you know, knock some sense into them. But that kind of stuff doesn't just, you know, stop.
Yeah.
If you don't feel something for a child, feelings don't just automatically, well, that's not true. But, you know, it's like, if you've gone, you know, since, I want to say, what, January, February, and not having any feelings toward this child, I doubt that the feelings are just going to come whooshing in at the snap of a finger, you know?
Right.
So, we'll see where this goes. I don't think that there's going to be any, you know, kidnapping or anything. I think maybe if it comes down to it, she'll give him to Mitch. And then Mitch will say, here, Bernie, they couldn't do it. Yeah, or whatever the case may be. But it's sad and really well done. Probably one of the only well done storylines on the show right now, to be honest.
Yeah, every conflict between Mitch and Stu and Rainey is good. You know, whether we're having conversations about cancer diagnosis or how they feel about the children. Yeah, the EastEnders is just doing an excellent job with the way they are portraying what's going on between those two. So, yeah, I'm really here for it. I think they're doing a great job with it. You know, Stuart and Rainey have been, you know, two of our favorite couples for some time. And I just appreciate continuing to see them knock it out of the park when it comes to this storyline. Because it's been fantastic. Their portrayal has been fantastic. Totally agree there. Yes, ma'am. What else did you like that EastEnders did, darling?
So, do you see the chemistry between Frankie and Jay as much as
100%.
I do?
Yeah, the answer is Logan. You see, Logan started sniffing back at our king again. I said, all right, girl, go get your man.
Because I'm just, like, sitting there, and I'm like, okay, so him and Honey are together, but every time I see Frankie and Jay together, be it taking pictures or just talking or having a moment, just, you know, being friendly and Lola butting her ass in, you know, I could care less about that. But, I mean, like, I love them together. I think they're cute. He's very photogenic, believe it or not. It's just like, you're just watching how they interact, and I really buys that friend of hers. So I'm kind of glad Lola came in and was just like, screw your art exhibition. I'm going to talk to you about stealing men and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you shut your face. You have no say in men stealing of any sort, whether that little black dude left you or not, for some other girl that you know your mama hooked him up with. His mama hooked him up with because she don't like you. And she just like came in and was like, you are having a relationship with somebody else and having an affair with honey and blah blah blah. And I'm just like, dude, shut up. But I've been like ruining that woman or ruining, you know, Frankie's quote unquote friend exhibition was probably one of my favorite funny things that happened on the show. That was the humor we needed in a in an otherwise sad show besides the, you know, Kathy and Rocky stuff. But yeah, we needed that cute funny moment, and that was it for me. I think they're cute. They need to break him and Honey up and put him with Frankie, because I'd be all for it.
Yeah. And you know I'm with you, because you know I ain't never been here for Frankie Honey and Jay together. You know I never thought it worked, and I have never bought it, and I will never buy it. So yeah, the sooner they can break those two up, the better. And if Frankie is the one to do it, I'm good with it. You know, now, you know I love me some Lola and Jay. I have loved Lola and Jay for a long time. If I get Lola and Jay back together, I will be just fine.
Yeah.
Because I love those two together. But yeah, Frankie and Jay, hella chemistry. And I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Isn't she like bisexual too, or a lesbian or something? Because I know she was trying to date, I think she was, I don't remember. I remember that, crap, I can't think of her name. But no, it was like, I remember she was hitting on somebody for a hot minute, and then it was like, yeah, no, not working. They fought too much. I didn't see it. And then it was just like, you see them together, and I'm like, I'm for it. If they do the kissy kissy thing, I would not mind. I would not mind at all. But yeah. I like that they're trying to, you know, move her around to try to see who she has the best chemistry with so we can finally see her with somebody.
Yeah. Because she should be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She should be.
Indeed.
And what else did EastEnders do that you liked, Donna?
When Kat figured out that her boy there got scouted for a team and, you know, didn't let them know that he was currently getting situated to, you know, go to court and stuff. And Billy and his infinite wisdom was just like, yeah, how about that? And, you know, you have Martin there, you have Zach there, you have Nancy there, and they're all talking, and this dude sitting in the corner, the dude who just interviewed, you know, little cat boy there, was just sitting there listening, and he's like, yeah, dude, we're done. And Kat just walks in, he's like, you guys need to keep your flipping mouth shut because you ruined my son's life, you know, and she still hasn't told him yet. And his reaction once he found out was quite possibly the, you know, logical one. And he's like, now that it came out that there was evidence that pointed out that it was an accident, I can try again with another interview, right? And she's like, good luck, sweetie. she basically told him the hard truth. And I like it when most of the time, not all of the time, Gene, telling a child the cold, hard truth of the matter is, like, don't get your hopes up. You can try again another time. This will probably be on a record of some kind, but not, you know, a proper expungement on your record or whatever the case may be, because there was evidence proving that it was a total accident. And just is like, just take a breath. Somebody else will probably scout you out. Just because this team isn't going to be the team that you're going to be on. You're going to be on one someday. You know, Cold Hard Truth Cat is my favorite cat. So it's just like, every time she walked, or when she was with Phil, yeah, that's a stupid idea, buying the club, don't do it. You're not using my cab office as leverage. You're not... You haven't bought the club yet. Where are you going to get the money? We need to get it off of whose face now before all this stuff happens. It's like Cat's been back on form these past few weeks compared to the last couple before. So I'm kind of glad she's back on her high and mighty horse rather than her, oh my God, I'm so pitiful right now. I don't know what to do horse like she was the past couple weeks. It's nice to see Kat back where she's supposed to be.
So, I agree with that when it comes to her talking to Stacy about Gene. I don't agree to that when it comes to her, you know, overreacting about Bobby.
It's not Bobby.
What's his name? Whatever the brat's name is, overreacting about her child, acting like it's the worst thing in the world that people were speaking the truth in the pub. Also, I don't think it's accurate when it comes to her being in Phil's face talking about Sam as the worst thing in the world. Like, I think she's been acting really stupid with some of those things. Like that whole thing where her and Sharon went and messed up the thing that Sam was trying to do. Like, I just don't understand the point. It seemed like a waste of time and something she didn't need to be doing. I liked Millionaire Cat. I like Cat having money and her own purpose and things to do with her life. She just seems like a busybody, and not a busybody in the right ways. Where she needed to be a busybody is going to that school to make sure her son was okay, so he didn't feel like he needed to bring a knife to school to protect himself from them.
Yeah. Babies.
But she was too busy worrying about other stuff. You know, I just feel like her focus has not been where it's needed to be. So I'm a little less interested in giving her any type of co-signing for anything other than, you know, her being on point when it comes to Gene, because there she has been on brand. But I feel like she's been dropping the ball with her son, and she's been dropping the ball when it comes to the business, and I really need her to stop because she is better than this. So yeah, she's kind of been getting on my last nerve when it comes to a lot of things in recent weeks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But she's been better in these past few, though, for particular things. Not other things. Yeah. Her and Sam need to just stop. But, but yeah, I'm pretty on board with Kat this time. I don't normally co-sign with the cat love, because I don't particularly like the character. Mm-hmm. But this time, it's nice to see that she was, you know, cold, hard truth in it with a bunch of people today, these past few weeks. And she hasn't been doing that all that often. Yes. So.
I will give her love for Gene. That's it. I'm on the fence with
her. All right.
We'll see. All right. Now, let me jump to my scenes of the week. Okay, there we go. Well, since we're talking about my girl, Sam, let's talk about one more thing that I thought was smart in what she did. Sam was smart enough to work to extort $50,000 out of Denise with yep. Phil beside it. I said, you go ahead on, sis. Because what have I been annoyed by? Phil being in jail. Why is Phil in jail? Denise did not keep Kim under control like she said she was and got the police involved. And now, you know, Phil, you know, didn't make a big deal about, you know, the relationship between her and the son, gave her the money she needed for her business. Phil took care of that chick. And she let him go to jail. And she just thought her fortune was her fortune was just going to keep on going and she would have to face no consequences. And then in comes Hurricane Sam, who's just, you know, in the back of the wall, in the back of the calf, listening to this, that, and the other, quickly figuring things out and like, huh, I know how I'm going to get the money I need so we can open Peggy's. Denise going to do what she got to do. She going to give us that money. And then Denise takes her pitiful self over to Phil, who is sitting in jail. And she is trying to get Phil, who has been very accommodating to her for months, in spite of all her foolishness. She's trying to get Phil to tell his sister to slow down. And he like, no.
No!
This is your debt. Pay your debt. Get out of my face. I'm in prison. You living it up married and stuff. Do what you need to do. Don't whine to me. I wasn't mad at it at all. You know? Because, I mean, Denise put herself in that situation. So I was just like, what are you doing? So stop. Just stop.
Which was made all the worse when our favorite influencer decided to, you know, leave the place alone with a whole bunch of really expensive stuff in it, and they ended up getting robbed.
Yeah. Which she turned into a way to be angry at Howie again, you know? But yeah, yep. Denise needed to woman up. She got herself in that situation. She got help from Phil. He did what he needed to do to make sure she was okay. Hey, she got to do what she got to do to get that money. So if that's working with your cop husband to get 25 grand and you come up with the other 25 grand, do it. You got to sell your business, do it. Do what you need to do. Because she put him in that situation. Yes, he has a role to play, which is why he's in prison. But I mean, I can believe she went to prison whining for him when she left herself vulnerable. And that's what happens. So, yeah, I was like, come on, sis, come on. No, you ain't whining at this man in jail. Stop.
Stop. It's like, just be done.
Yes. I also want to give some love to Linda and to Zach.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Linda's been out of control. She's been living at Sharon's while Sharon's is away. And, you know, Janine was buzzing in Jada's ear, which had her thinking, girl, your child is there. You've got to tell, stand up for yourself and tell them you don't need this drunk living with them because she needs to come live back with Mick and ruin my sex life. So anyway, so because Zach has lived with a parent who was also alcoholic, he just kept it real with Linda. He's like, look, Linda, I have lived with a person who had your problem. It was horrible. It's horrible to be a child having to deal with this. You've got a daughter dealing with this. You've got a baby in this house. You've got a concerned mother. And you've got both me and Martin concerned as well. You need to get your stuff together. Otherwise, you got to get out. That's what I'm hearing from the roommates. That's the reality of the situation. Get your stuff together. And I appreciated that conversation, even though it was short-term initially, right? Mm-hmm. Getting Linda to do what she needed to do to realize, I need help. And I need to see about getting my family back. Because then what did that ultimately end up translating into? You've got Linda admitting to Mick that she needs help with her alcoholism after Mick, you know, in response to some sniping from Linda, admits that he is still struggling to deal with the impact of his sexual abuse. Girl, those things were so doggone good. So mm-hmm. good. And showed the depth of love still between those two actors and characters, right?
Oh, yeah. So
I'm ready for them to get back together. And I love, you know, Linda, you know, switching it up. Like I said, put that hair down, acting all dumb blonde with Janine. Money, what is money? You gave it to me. I don't understand what that means, right? And making her presence felt at the pub that is her pub. Janine manipulated her out of that situation. She is manipulating herself back in and getting the help that she needs. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know?
Yes.
Were you similarly impressed with those moves?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Linda's always had, like, my... Or since she's been on the show, between the two of them. It's just been like, whenever they're on screen together, it's like a breath of fresh air that's necessary. And I feel once she figured out that the money that was given to her was the money that was meant to go toward Nancy's restaurant, she's gonna freak out. Mick's gonna freak out. She's gonna give the money back to Nancy,
yep.
Even though they're likely gonna not get the building that they wanted because of the fact Janine's a flippin' idiot, and they're gonna go and try to work something out to get their restaurant built up, because it's just like, okay, so it's family money anyway, right? Because that's essentially what it is. She basically gave her family money, so it's not like, you know, anybody's losing out except for, you know, the restaurant owners there and their nasty poke bowls. But just like sitting there thinking, yep, they'll get their restaurant. I just kind of hope it's not like, you know, something like We Small that is just like takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope it's going to be something that's more fine dining-ish, considering, you know, he's a chef and everything. So I'm kind of hoping that it's more like a sit-in restaurant that Nancy's going to go up. Nancy and him are going to go up against Peter and his bougie food with Zach and his bougie food to see which bougie food is the winner of the bougie food. So, guess what? I can do takeout bougie food. but yeah, I just kind of want to see something that isn't like the Axis chicken shop that just, you know, is there and laundering money. They need more legitimate businesses I mean, like, yes, they have enough restaurants in the square, but they don't have a lot of bougie restaurants in the square. So I'm kind of curious to see where it goes, since they're not getting their particular restaurant, even though they don't know that yet. And we'll see where that goes.
Yes.
Especially now that we know Linda has half their money.
Yes. And as long as Linda is on the winning side of whatever happens, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. 100.
Yes. All right, everyone. So with that, I will say that I am at Brother So.
And I am at Lindsay Amanda.
Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, wear that mask, get vaxxed, and don't let COVID kick that ass. Take care, y'all.
Bye.